Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Good morning. You're listening to WILL AM 580. And now with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you, Chris, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. USDA today says that the honeybee population declined 31.1% last winter, continuing a slide that began in 2005. Bee colony numbers are dipping closer to the minimum needed to sustain the more than $20 billion worth of annual harvests that rely on pollination, especially California's almond crop. Beekeepers lost about 22% of their bees during the previous 2011-12 winter. South Korea's largest animal feed miller today purchased 69,000 metric tons of option origin corn for arrival by September 15th. The cargo came from Cargill at 142 U.S. cents a bushel premium over the September futures contract on the Chicago Board of Trade. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NASS released its latest crop progress report for the week ending May 5th. The numbers look like this. 12% of the corn crop is planted versus 5% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 47%. 7% is in the ground in Illinois, and 8% is planted in Iowa and Indiana. 3% of the corn crop is emerged versus 2% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 15%. 2% of soybeans are planted versus the five-year rolling average of 12%. Winter wheat conditions look like this: 32% good to excellent, 29% fair, and 39% poor and very poor. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 15,003. It's up 34 points. The NASDAQ 3401 is up 8. And the S&P 500 is 1623. It is up 5.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Weather conditions across the Midwest may not be quite as good as needed in order to get back into some of the fields that have been hit with the heaviest rains in recent weeks, but we are going to see a trend change towards the weekend and into next week that should offer several days of good drying conditions across the region that will help to get the firming of the soil that we need in order to start planting more aggressively. The key then will be a cold front that should cut across the Midwest during the second half of next week, and during the middle and latter parts of next week actually is when that front will likely come through. It'll offer some more showers and thunderstorms to the region, but it should be a quick-moving frontal system, and the disruption to the drying trend and to the field work that should be underway at that point should be relatively brief, and we might be back into the fields within a day or two thereafter. Another thing that's going to be helping out the situation a bit is the temperatures. We're expecting them to be a lot less on the cool side, at least on a persistent basis, as we move forward through a big part of the next 2 weeks. Now, with that said, I'm fully aware of the fact that it will be rather nippy across the region here for a little while this weekend and early next week. Frost and freezes may actually be a threat to some of the soft wheat crop across the Midwest. We may also have a little bit of a threat to the early emerged corn, but there's not much of that, obviously, with our planting pace so far behind the norm. We will expect, though, the coolest weather to occur over the Sunday-Monday time period. At that point, we might see some low temperatures dropping down into the 30s, maybe even some upper 20s, but it's just a little bit too soon for us to talk about specifics and whether or not there's going to be serious damage done to any of the crops. Well, back in the near-term forecast, we are expecting scattered showers to occur across the western Corn Belt as we move forward through the next few days. Today will probably be the least of the wetter days. We'll expect a lot of areas to be dry today with sunshine. But there is a disturbance in the plains right now that's producing scattered showers and thunderstorms, and it will prevail out there in hard red winter wheat country, while at the same time expanding somewhat to the northeast. Many areas in the western Corn Belt will likely see scattered showers and thunderstorms, most significantly Wednesday and Thursday of this week. A little bit of a drying tendency will occur for a brief period of time on Friday, but a new cool front cutting through the region Friday night and Saturday will bring in one more round of shower activity. The precipitation this week is going to vary greatly across the western Corn Belt. Some locations might get something locally heavy, but most of the precipitation will be light. But it doesn't really matter. Any precipitation is going to be a setback to the drying trend that's badly needed across the region, and the need for a more serious period of dry weather will prevail. But as I mentioned, we should see at least an improving trend over the weekend and into next week. The eastern Midwest will see some afternoon showers today, still left over from the lingering impact of the upper-level low-pressure system that's been plaguing those areas for the last couple of days. The showers will occur again tomorrow afternoon, and then the frontal boundary that's bringing the rain to the western Corn Belt will impact the eastern areas as we move on out into Thursday and Friday. So there won't be very many days that are completely dry in the eastern Midwest, but there will be pockets out there where some fieldwork might be accomplished. The cool front from Canada will then cut across the eastern Midwest on Friday night and Saturday as well, and we'll likely see that mean the last day of the significant precipitation for those areas. The moisture content across the Midwest during a big part of the coming week will run mostly 3/10 to 1 inch, with some localized amounts of 1 to 2 inches possibly. We don't expect those heavier amounts to be very common. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's take a look and see how futures are trading in Kansas City. July wheat is 757 and three quarters up one. May wheat in Chicago, 696 and a quarter up three and a quarter. July is 704 up one and a quarter. May corn is 680 up one and a quarter. July 638 up one and a half. December at 538 down a quarter. May soybeans, 1453 up 8.5. July, 1378 and a quarter up 9. And November at 1212 and three quarters up 5.5. May soybean meal, 41650 up 340. July, 404.10 up 290. May soybean oil, 48.87 up 18. July, 48.90 up 14. June live cattle, 121.32.5 up 2.5. May feeders, 137.85 down 55. And May lean hogs are 91 even, and they are down a nickel. Joining us on the phone now to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, what do we make of planning progress report going forward?
Planning progress was not near as high as industry thought. It came in at 12% nationwide. Illinois, Iowa, and Indiana were all, and Ohio were all in the 7 to 8% range, which is way below normal. But forecasts are for drier and warmer down the road, so it didn't make us jump much. We had corn at one time maybe up 6 in old crop and up, we were up 3 in new crop. It did affect beans more. Old crop beans up 8 to 9 and new crop up 5, and they've been 3 to 4 higher. And it's probably just on the idea in Chicago that warmer, drier means more corn acres and less bean acres. But it really didn't pop as much as some people thought it would. They're still expecting 30 to 35% planted next Monday with only 12 this week. There is planting going on in a few places now, but they're also calling for rains scattered across the Midwest of a half inch to an inch. And wherever that happens, if it's already wet, it'll keep them out another 3 to 5 days.
I think 35 is optimistic.
I think that's very optimistic, truthfully. I was shocked that there were people saying we'll have 20% planted this week, and it came out 12. And I was also shocked that it didn't make the corn really boom.
So the trade is of the mindset that as of right now, May 7th or 8th, whatever the date is, this crop has not lost any yield, has not lost any acres, has not lost any yield. It's still a 14.5 billion bushel crop.
I would say you're correct there, and you can talk to anybody at U of I or Purdue or Iowa State, and they will argue with you about May 10th to May 20th of how much you lose in those days, if any, or how much. And then after May 20th, it starts going down supposedly a lot more. But so there's all kinds of theories out there. Example, last year's stuff planted May 25th, made more than stuff planted April 1, April 15th, May 1. Every year is different. The rest of the growing season has more to do with yield. Just ask U of I, your man there. The rest of the year has more to do with yield than planting date.
I suppose, and this requires somewhat of a short answer, but I suppose when we look at the WASDE on Friday and see what the carry in might be, that might be of interest.
That sure could be.
Are we looking for a reduction?
No, we're not. We're looking for them to raise carry out on corn and beans.
All right. Thank you much, Pete.
Have a great one.
You too. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, May corn, 681 up 2 1/4. July, 639 and a quarter up 2 3/4. December, 539 up 3/4. May soybeans, 1453 up 8 1/2. July, 1378 and a quarter up 9. November, 1213 up 5 3/4. May soybean meal, 41630 up 320. July is up 330 at 404.50, and July soybean oil is 48.85, up 9 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.